Hi, I'm Katie Duke, and I've been a nurse for over 20 years. Listen, I used to think that I was my most stylish in my 20s, but honestly, style and confidence only get better with age. And that is why I love Figs. These scrubs are beautiful, comfortable, and they are built to last. They're not those boxy, scratchy uniforms that we all started out in. No, no, no. These fit perfectly. They feel amazing, and the quality is just wow! My favorite color? Burgundy. It's chic, it's timeless, and it's even the same color as my apartment, because I'm kind of obsessed with it. And I love adding custom embroidery to make my scrubs as personal as my style. And since I work in telehealth, my embroidered Figs even double as my ID badge. It's never too late to reinvent yourself or your scrubs. Get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, for 15% off your first order.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of January. It was 53 years ago today that the infamous Roe v. Wade was passed. America's national sin. Whoa. Anyhow, tonight, way back. This is Pledge Week, folks. Pledge Week, Pledge Week. In fact, we have less than two hours to raise the money we need to stay on the air for another month. So the numbers are 888-281-1110. That's call-in line. That's credit card line. 888-677-9673. Fellows are back there, those guys back in the phone booth, and that is the doers of the word, the faithful, and that is Carl Klein and Eric Tarther. They're back there tonight, manning the phones. And then we have in the glass cage the fearless, the mighty, mighty Andrew, producer and co-host. Hey, mighty Andrew.
Yes, in the glass cage.
Right. We keep him in there where we can keep an eye on him.
Of course.
All right. And then leaping lizards, we have, she always gives 100%. She always gives 100%. And that's little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. And then from the Lone Star State, a man of incredible stature and worth, none other than Big John McTernan.
Mr. Ernie, I feel cheated. You usually give me a longer, introduction and all that.
Well, there's life's sometimes has its up and downs.
Okay. Well, listen, God bless you. Thank you for your terse introduction. And may we have a really fruitful night giving Jesus the glory.
Thanks, Big John. Listen. This is an amazing thing tonight. I got two prayer requests to come in, tonight, right before the program. And one is Kathy. She's a 73-year-old widow She is a Christian. She's saved. But she's been trying to recover from hip surgery. She hasn't been eating, and she has a very, very good friend who cares a lot for her, who has come over to help her out there. That's Jenny. Jenny's a real sweetheart. She's over there helping feed her because Kathy's been diagnosed with stage 5. I didn't know there was such a thing as stage 5 dementia. And so she needs prayer. And then we have another Kathy. Both, you know, I got two requests and two Kathys. This Kathy is suffering from a broken heart. She doesn't understand why someone who is very, very dear to her, very close, all of a sudden has quit speaking to her and won't talk to her. And she has no idea why. And it's really hurt her. It's hurt her a lot. So which one do you want to pray for, Jim or John? And I'll take the other.
Oh, the broken-hearted Kathy.
Alrighty, would you do that?
Yes. The Bible says in Luke 4:18 that really part of the Lord's ministry, it says he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So any broken heart done by at any time, the Lord is there to heal. So we have to turn to him to have our heart healed. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So friends, for whatever reason, may break from you and cause a broken heart like Kathy's suffering, but Jesus will never leave you. So I'm praying now in the name of Jesus Christ that your broken heart would be healed. He's the great physician. He knows how to heal broken hearts. That that hurt will be replaced by more of his love. That hurt will be replaced by the peace of God. And let nothing steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I pray that you'll be filled with the joy of the Lord, looking for Christ's coming to take us to heaven and be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the anchor of our soul. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. And folks, remember, pray with us. Remember, there's power in prayer. Believe. Just believe. All right? Let me tell you, if you believe, things happen. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray for the widow, Kathy. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know her, but I do know, Father God, that her situation is. And I know that even though, and I've seen many cases where people seem to be where they are totally non-communicative, but yet, Lord, I know you're speaking to them. And so, Heavenly Father, I want to hold Kathy up and ask, Lord God, first of all, you would take away the pain that she's had. Lord, that you would restore her back, her appetite. And Father God, Lord, I know that all you have to do is just say the word to be healed, and you can restore and give her a clear mind again. So this is what I'm asking for this Kathy, Lord, that she receives the blessings in every area to where she can receive that blessing, that she's restored to where she can walk again, she can eat again, and, Lord, that her mind and memory is restored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty.
Amen.
Okay, this is Pledge Week, so folks, the fellows are sitting back there. They're waiting to hear from you. They really do want to hear from you. I really want you to hear from me. We got less than 2 hours to raise enough money for the next month. And if you don't call in and we don't hear from you, Big John will think it's his fault. And I don't want him feeling bad. I don't want him feeling responsible for having a bad night. So give him a break. Call in. and heal my broken heart with a pledge. And let's do this. The last pledge we had last night was from Troy, who in Illinois, and he pledged $500. And let me start out with asking, can we find a match for Troy for that $500? The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. And anyhow, give us a call. Please don't let John leave here feeling bad tonight. What do you think, John?
Yes, if you heard, I heard.
Yes, all right, very good. And so right now, let's, you know, speaking about hurting, this is an amazing thing. You know, today marked the 53 years since Roe v. Wade. And today, you know, while in a very, very cold Washington, D.C., you had hundreds of thousands of people marching for life. You had, it's a day of saints and sinners, John. You had all these people marching for life. And then at the same time in Minneapolis, it was a march of shame, a march of shame, where you had people that will always pick the opposite of what God's Word, the Bible, whatever God's Word, the Bible calls sin, they will embrace. These are people that will, they will stand up and they will defend a murderer. They will defend child molesters. They will always take the wrong side of any issue. And John, with that, and that's what took place. And I have a clip. I can't play it yet, but and it was from a young woman from Minneapolis, and she goes on, and I'm going to try to play this on Monday, but talks about how ashamed she is of the people there in Minneapolis for the way that they've been behaving. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 5, because I think this really kind of describes them very clearly. What do you think? Isaiah 5, would we start? Now, John, in this, you have six woes. God gives them six woes. He gives it in verse 8, 11, 18, 20, and 22. So let's start in verse 18 and take it a verse at a time. You ready?
Starting at verse 18?
Yeah.
All right, almost there.
All right, before you go, Annie from Coshocton. Oh, Coshocton, Pennsylvania, pledges 50. Thank you, Annie. God bless you. Thank you. All right, John, go ahead. Let's start with verse 18.
Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope.
So we're talking about, it says if they have their sin in a cart and they're pulling it out in front, displaying it there, here before God. The next verse, go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, that verse today would be like sin putting it in a flatbed truck and driving it through town and showing it off.
Or marching out in the streets, flaunting,
yeah,
and carrying signs.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah. Well, would you say one of the best displays of that would be the Sodomite parades? I think the Sodomite parades would probably be the best example of that that you could see, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, in San Francisco, they act out sodomy during the parade.
Yeah, I know. I'll never forget the documentary I watched from one of the fellows that was there during that, and Nancy Pelosi, how Nancy Pelosi stood 1 foot away from these two sodomites that were stark naked And they were doing exactly that. They were flaunting, just like it says here, before God, their sin. And Nancy Pelosi says to them on camera, Jesus would be very pleased with the way you're showing love to each other. What do you think of a mind like that?
Well, the Bible calls that a reprobate mind, Pastor Ernie.
Absolutely, totally reprobate.
Reprobate means void, so it's empty of truth. It's empty of knowledge of God. It's void now, anyone that acts out like that. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, I believe it's the very last verse, verse 31, 32, it says that there's special punishment for those that do such things and those that agree with them.
Yeah.
It says, if we agree with someone committing sin like that, we get the same punishment.
Well, you know, there's another inference in that is not only do they agree with it, but they do the same thing. They do the same thing. And so here in that verse, and let me just find it, because that's...
In Romans?
Yeah, Romans chapter 1.
It's the last verse, chapter 1.
Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This verse comes to mind to me when, I was out there preaching at the abortion mills, and one day I had a guest here on the radio program, Carol Everett, who, she was one that was led to the Lord. She ran four or five abortion mills there in the state of Texas, and she said that when you hear these women say, personally, I would never have an abortion, but I'm not going to condemn those that do. And she said, that's shop talk, what we call shop talk for, they've had at least one. And that's what she said. And that's stuck with me when I read that verse, that they do the same. But go ahead to verse 19.
All right. Let's say, let them make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One draw nigh and come, that we may know it.
In other words, they're saying, let's flaunt our sin before Almighty God to see what he'll do about it. Now, that reminds me of, I remember watching this young dumb college student. He had gathered a bunch of people around him. He got himself up on a stump, and he was saying, God, if you're up there, strike me dead. I don't think you're up there. Are you awake? He was making a mockery out of God. How smart is that, John?
It's only by God's mercy that he doesn't answer a fool like that, Pastor.
Well, does God pick the time and the place? Can God be tempted?
Tempted, he can. I don't know if that's the right word.
No, Scripture says God cannot be tempted. Yeah,
no,
but go ahead.
No, it's, I'm thinking about being someone in front of them, just like this guy, you know, tempting them to judge him.
Well, you know, first of all, the man's a fool. Second, God knows. Remember Herod the Magnificent?
Yes.
Remember how Herod was a Herodian. He knew what the Bible taught about accepting worship as and being referred to as a god. He knew exactly what the Bible taught. Now, on his birthday, when he stood up and he was wearing his birthday suit, a suit made of silver, and he stood and he waxed eloquently, he gave this great oratory, and those that were looking to get his favor for the shipping rings lanes and that, They were there, and they were saying, "You're not a man, you're a god. You're not a man, you're a god." And what should have Herod the Magnificent done right then?
Well, he should have denied that, Pastor Ernie, and said there's only one God.
Well, that's true, but in those days, what they would do is they would rent their garment. They would rip it right open, okay? They would rent their garment. He should have rented his garment and then and said exactly that, okay? No, I'm not God. Don't worship me. You know, worship God, okay? And so he didn't. And what happened to him?
Well, he died on the spot, Pastor Ernie, but it was like a horrible way. His innards, his intestines and all just fell out of his body.
And he was eaten alive by worms right there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And so that...
Yeah, I think of...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Ernie. I'm sorry.
You go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was thinking of King Nebuchadnezzar also, who they were worshiping as God, and then he went insane, remember, for 7 years?
Yeah, well, what he did is he stood out on his balcony, he spread his arms, and he said, "All of this have I built." And God was listening, wasn't he?
Yes.
And God said, "Who built, right? Who built?
Yeah. Yeah, they made an image of him.
Yeah.
A big image. And they fell down to worship him at every couple times a day, I think.
Why should he have known a lot better than that, and why did he go back on his own word?
Because Daniel was with him there. Daniel became very close to Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm sure he was telling him all the truths. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar did acknowledge that the God of Israel was God, and that he should be worshipped.
Well, he actually did that before this, remember, starting in the first chapters of Daniel, where you have, I believe, Daniel chapter 3, where Nebuchadnezzar, when they would not bow down to his 90-foot statue, he sent the three Hebrew boys into the fire. And remember what he said when he looked in there?
Yeah, he saw the fourth was like unto the Son of God.
Yeah. And he said, "They're up and walking around, okay?" And the fire was so hot that the men that took him up to throw him in died, okay? I got to stop here and get the number out. We haven't had one phone call yet tonight, and we're almost, it's almost 10:30. Folks, we need to hear from you. No, I'm sorry, we have had one phone call, Annie, from PA. That number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you, folks. We really do. All right. Let's go. So here now, when he says, that say, "Let them make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and coming that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Tell me, how many ways, John, do people out there, to those on the left, are they calling good evil? They say killing children, killing babies is good. Unbelievable. God calls it murder. What does God say when he gave us the Noahic covenant about abortion? He makes it very clear that the killing, the taking, the destruction of his image. He said people, the Bible says, God says, that kill their children, first of all, they deserve to die, and number two, they deserve to burn in hell unrepentant. That's what God says, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's not what those on the left say. And we have some very wicked, evil people out there today. And, I mean, again, you have this woman who just became the governor of Virginia. She is a very wicked woman. And if I would talk to her, I would tell her, look, you, according to God's word right here, Jeremiah 2:34, you're an unclean woman. You're an unclean woman. The first thing she promoted was the killing of children right up to the time of birth. Right up until the time of birth, the killing of children, okay? And the Bible says that her skirts are filled with the blood of innocent. And I would tell her, if I could talk to her, that if she saw me coming, she'd probably take off in the other direction. But unless you repent of this, if you died today, you would burn in hell forever. Is that an important message? Should pastors and preachers out there today, like that fellow John the Baptist, remember him? Herod, right?
He was the greatest of all the prophets.
Should pastors have the courage today to preach the Word of God without compromise?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. And you know this, what Charles Finney said about the country turning to sin and politicians being corrupt. He said that it lays right at the feet of the preachers on the pulpit.
Absolutely. He certainly did. We've quoted that. You can bet the pulpit is responsible for it. All right. Lou in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Lou. Thank you. Can I get a match for Lou's 100? Can I get a match for Troy's 500 or Annie's 50? The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you. We're coming up to a break, and a great time to call right now is during this break. So call.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and for your iron I'll give you silver, and for your brass I'll give you gold.
gold. Awake, America.
Awake, America.
Rise from your slumber.
Rise from your slumber.
And the truth shall
set you free.
Hosanna. From out of Zion.
Hallelujah.
Comes your Redeemer.
Hallelujah.
In the year of
Jubilee.
In the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Way.
All right, we're back, and John, what I'm going to need to do, I think, tonight is we need prayer, because the phones aren't ringing the way they should, and God's Word, the Bible, that's one thing. The Bible tells us to teach. We can pray about everything, and we need prayer tonight. This is, we've got an hour, less than an hour and a half to meet our goal, to be able to continue on, so would you, again, there's a lot of folks out there listening to us right now, and they kind of feel, you know, especially those that have listened to us for years, and those, many of them got the newsletter for years, and many of them have never contributed. There's many people out there that have never contributed, not once. And so would you pray that and folks, pray along with John, would you please do that? That the Lord would prick their heart and get them to help us out at this time, because we work very, very hard. We don't take a pay. Our country, you know, we're at a precipice. Our country needs prayer right now. We need a voice of non-compromise. We need voices that will continue to warn the people, will be the watchman on the wall. And there are very few of us out there that have never stood down, never backed down, never compromised, have gone to jail for not doing it. And so we need for you to pray along with us. So, John, would you go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to move the hearts of the people?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. Father God, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, there's a great need here for funds to stay on the air. This is all, we exist here by donations, Lord, no advertisements. So I'm asking that you would touch the hearts of the people, Lord, to help us, and that they would be greatly blessed, because truth goes out from here, Lord, that is not heard in many sources. Great knowledge and truth can come from this show to bless the people. And we're asking now that they in turn would bless us so we could stay on the air and get them vital truth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. Ohio nurse who posted a disturbing wish for upcoming birth of Caroline Leavitt's baby has been fired. The Ohio nurse who wished White House press secretary to suffer a severe fourth-degree tear during childbirth has been fired. I got an idea what that is, okay? The Gateway Pundit reported that Leavitt announced in December that she is expecting a baby girl in May. This will be her second child. The greatest Christmas gift we could ever ask for, a baby girl coming in May, Leavitt said in an Instagram. My husband and I are thrilled to grow our family and can't wait to watch our son become a big brother. My heart is overflowing with gratitude to God for the blessings of motherhood, which I truly believe is the closest thing to heaven on earth. God bless her. She is right. It is so good to see clean women, women who are ladies, godly women, okay, chaste women, decent women, because, boy, we have a whole lot of them out there marching that aren't, huh? I'm also extremely grateful to President Trump and our Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, for their support for fostering a pro-family environment in the White House, Leavitt said. It's going to be a great year, and I'm so excited to be a girl mom, Leavitt added. In a video, the nurse identified as Shonda Petre Surzrick graphically wished that Leavitt would suffer traumatic injuries during childbirth. My wish for Caroline Leavitt is she is pregnant with a baby girl, says she's in the video, and I truly do hope the baby is so healthy. I hope she is healthy and headstrong. So headstrong, in fact, that as she emerges into this world through her, and I can't say the word, that she tears her from, and I can't say these words, from one place to the other. She added, that is exactly the type of people you have out there. And I've got a picture of this woman. She looks like a crazy. It's amazing out there. That's the mindset. These women are filled with hate, aren't they?
They are, Pastor Ernie. And you notice it's all coming from them. The assassinations, the assassination attempts, trying to run over agents, all the threats and violence and the vulgarity and all on them. It's obvious. This has been going on for years now.
All right, Caroline in Illinois pledges 100, and Karen in Illinois pledges 30. Thank you, thank you. All right, that number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. It's just amazing. You know, we have another example of that. You know, that new attorney general there, Virginia, really took a slide of the folks in Virginia that allowed that governor, that woman, to be elected, and then their attorney general, Jay Jones. Remember him from Virginia? He was a Democrat.
The one that had,
go ahead.
Dream about that murdering Republican conservatives.
His opponent and his whole family.
Yeah.
The death of his political opponent and his whole family. Todd Gilbert. And all of Gilbert's children, these people they're demonic. They're right from the pit of hell. And the people in Virginia that allowed that to elect this guy, okay, when you elect the wicked to rule over you, you will be ruled wickedly. And I'm going to tell you, was to see Jay Jones, and I would tell Jay Jones, if you died today, you'd burn in hell forever. You see, that's a reality. Is that not true? When unsaved people, do they not die in their sin? Do they not go to hell forever?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Henry. If you die in your sin without believing that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, then you have to pay that penalty.
What do you think it would be like if we had pastors today with the courage in a pulpit, like those of old, okay, who would, like the Apostle Paul and Peter, who told it the way it is, and especially no one did it better than the Lord Jesus himself. But if we had more pastors in a pulpit standing up and telling it the way it's supposed to be, John, do you think we'd have a different type of society?
Yeah, that's exactly what Finney said back in the 1850s. And back then, the great evangelist, Charles Finney, he warned that if the preachers don't preach righteousness from the pulpit, and that the government and the people in society have a duty to be righteous and to stand for righteousness, that the problem would lie at the feet in the pulpits of the preachers.
Absolutely. All righty. The number is 888-281-1110, credit card line, or 888-677-9673. Email shows top Fulton County election officials knew about all of the discrepancies in the 2020 election there. They knew about it at the time, John. On Wednesday, the Georgia State of Election Board held a hearing during which Joe Rossi, co-author of the now famous SEB compliant 2023 to 2025, was afforded the opportunity to finally present a rebuttal to a previously heard report from the Secretary of State's office in May of 24. During that May hearing, neither Rossi nor co-author Kevin Mancia were afforded an opportunity to rebut the report to the SEB. Among other severe issues, one of 2023-2025 claims was the 3,125 ballots that were actually duplicate ballots added to the final machine count on December 4th, 2020. According to Rossi's testimony, the number is now up to 3,900 found by the Department of Justice in its investigation, which Rossi disclosed has already begun. Rossi showed an example of how the duplicated ballots were scanned in a way that makes it highly unlikely that it was a human error or mistake, and also difficult to discover. Rossi described the shuffling of the ballots during the hearing. They talk about that in the clip. They have a clip of the hearing there where Rossi says, "Does this look like human error to you or just a mistake?" In addition to the 3,900 duplicated ballots in the December machine recount, Rossi also discovered 6,961 ballots in Fulton County that were double and triple counted during the hand recount in November 16, 2020. The discovery was confirmed by Governor Brian Kemp's office in November of 2021, and a letter was issued to the Georgia Secretary of State from the governor's office. Fulton County officials and the Secretary of State's office had repeatedly denied any discrepancy in the counts and continually pointed to the fact that there were three recounts all aligned. However, yesterday during the meeting, Joe Rossi disclosed that the elections group, Michael Prendergast, sent an email to then-Deputy Director Nadine Williams and then-Elections Director Richard Barron with an attachment that detailed multiple errors in the hand count audit results, consistent but not as extensive as those discovered by Rossi and documented and compliant. The email was sent on November 19, 2020, just 3 days after the hand count result was reported. Richard Barron was the then-elected director that reached out to another elections group member, Ryan Macias, via email on December 3, 2020, at 12:06 p.m. over concerns about the second and official machine count in approximately 511,000 votes, 17,000 votes shy of the approximate 528,000 initially reported. There you go. Now they're talking about decertifying the 2020 election, John. How could you do that?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I mean, they'd have to say everything Biden did was illegal. I mean, it's null and void. I don't know how you could do it.
What about all the people he pardoned? What about all of his appointments?
Yeah. Well, I would say all executive orders by him would be null and void, that's for sure.
I think they just about are. I think Trump got rid of almost all of them. They were all bad.
Yeah, that'd be funny. But laws he signed, you know, what about law? He has to sign laws into effect. So he's not the president. He's, you know, a fraud. It'd be a mess, Pastor.
All righty, Terry in California pledges 100, and Richard in Ohio pledges 40. Thank you, thank you. Those numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Here, they're doing it again with the... I know what I wanted to talk about. This is a big one. Protecting the unborn. Trump's HH Health and Human Services moves to end taxpayer funding of illegal alien children abortions. Also, they're pushing to lock in the Mexico City bill and the Hyde Amendment. And we need to really let them know about the Hyde Amendment, the Senate. I know I gave that number out there, too. All right, Maybell in New York pledges 50. Thank you, Maybell.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I heard Vice President Vance today say that they're going to examine all our foreign aid and to any countries that promote abortion, we're not going to give aid.
Praise the Lord. That's exactly what they need to do. And, we got to stop it in this country first. We got to clean up our own house. And, again, it seems like the opposition out there, they've gone so satanic. I know you and I have talked about this, and we praise the good Lord. On those marches that you've had, 53 marches for life, John, I was in 47 of those marches myself over the years, and I know you've been in many of them too.
About 10, Pastor.
Yeah, and so here, I always come away tired, but feeling that we've accomplished something. We took a stand. The Bible says, God says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live." Did you see crazy Carville, John? What's his name? James Carville out there?
What they call him, Snakehead or something?
Yeah, they referred to him as the Snake. He used to be called the Snake because he kind of looks like a snake. I don't know.
He's strange looking,
but he was out there boasting that they have momentum, that the Antichrist people, and they are. There is no more Democratic Party. They're the Democrats. They're communist. They're satanic. They are a satanic party. They're a party of death. They're a party of uncleanness, okay? And I'm not saying this because you'll hear people say, "Well, Pastor, where's the love for these people?" The love is telling them the truth. The love is telling them the truth. And these sickly, syrupy, wimpy preachers out there that don't have the courage to stand up, you would much rather offend God with your lack of courage and integrity than you would offending those people out there that are committing and are on a fast track to the lake of fire. What do you think, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. I mean, sometimes, you know, love means telling people the truth. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. So if we speak the truth in love, that's needed. They have to hear it.
Yeah, well, if you're speaking the truth, it is in love, okay, because it's the truth,
not
right?
Not necessarily, Pastor Ernie. It can be cutting, and it can be, you know, arrogant.
Well, yeah, you could do it in such a way I know what you're talking about.
But that's what it means, speak the truth in love.
Well, you know, we're here to speak it right from the Word of God, and that's what we do. And the Bible says to warn the wicked and the righteous, and that's what we do. And again, somehow the mindset, they don't understand, there's a mindset out there that, well, you know, if enough people, if the majority are for something, then God will have to go along with it. That's not the way it works, is it?
I hope it's not mob majority rule, Pastor Ernie. Did God? I assume the majority of the Germans back in the 1930s there, especially the late 30s, were for Hitler. Does that mean God has to go along with Hitler's agenda?
Well, again, today, you know, that America's national sin is killing his children. All through Scripture, God shows us very clearly. He brought the very, very worst judgment on people for killing their children. And so...
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, I'd like to take a different look at that, what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
What about the states here that have outlawed abortion, like Texas? And the government, the federal government, is stopping all the funding and everything else. You know, it's in America now, I think it boils down on individual states.
Right. Here in Ohio, they did a horrible, horrible thing, though, with Issue 1 about 3 years ago. And we tried to warn people, and we tried to warn people, and we tried to warn people, but they worded it backwards. All kinds of funding came from outside the state. And they went and they amended our Constitution in Ohio. And we really tried, and people that should have known better, really should have known better, went and they voted, even though they were told, listen, you know, we explained to them what that would do. That would make killing a child in Ohio, according to Ohio's Constitution, killing a child a right. And people allowed it because they were confused and they voted for it. And that should now, so we have to undo that here in Ohio. We've got to undo that. We have to amend our Constitution. So that to reverse that, what we need is to pass legislation, that life at conception legislation, a personhood bill here in Ohio. That's what we really need to do, is pass a personhood bill.
Personhood from conception.
Absolutely. Because that's what the Word of God teaches, right? God says we're persons from conception. Then that's the way it is, right?
Yeah, Psalm 139 describes that, Pastor Ernie, and then it says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, God tells us the process.
What about Jeremiah 1:5?
About him being from the womb?
Right, he ordained him. In the womb, he was a prophet, ordained in the womb. And so, isn't that kind of like a personhood amendment from God, message from God?
Yes, that's a good way to look at that, yes.
Yeah, I would say so. So, anyhow, protecting unborn life. Trump's Health and Human Services moves to end taxpayer-funded of illegal alien children abortions. He goes on to say, the Department of Health and Human Services is officially moving to roll back a Biden-era policy of taxpayer-funded child killing and travel for unaccompanied illegal alien children in the U.S., the Daily Signal first reported. The Office of Refugee Resettlement within the HHS Administration of Children and Families Division making regulatory changes to address how child killing services or facilities, I'm not even going to use the word abortion, child killing facilities are funded for illegal accompanied minors in federal custody at HHS, the official told the Daily Signal. The changes could eventually limit federal involvement in child killing for minors in government custody, particularly vulnerable children, federal care, the official said. There you go. We're coming up to a break, folks. And again, what a perfect time to call and pledge. 888-281-1110. We'll be... Was that, all right. I got the wrong signal. You don't have my clock pulled in here. Okay, be right back after this. We're a whole lot more. Don't go away. We got a lot to come yet. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.